for them to, once they involve in the church, to feel comfortable coming to church. And if there was an option out there available to them, I want them to have it.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks. Lynn?
It seems to me, my comment kind of goes along with Craig. It seems to me we're compartmentalizing what goes on in the other ministry and what goes on in Sunday morning service. It's like, it's almost like they don't match. It doesn't. They don't go along with each other. And what kind of message are we giving when they don't match? Especially if it's someone that's just coming in that's not familiar with the church, a newcomer, say. What does that say about them?
Thank you, Lisa.
Skits make it real. I'm not against skits. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against any of this. I just don't understand the term make it real. Maybe I'm just not on the same level.
Well, certainly Forest Mill is much more real than anything I ever grew up with. And if we were doing what Ray wants, I love what we've got right now. I do. I love it. I feel like God has come down and lifted me out of what I grew up in, and which was, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't very feeling, and it was very performance, like we come and observe it and go home, and I'm very blessed by what we do, but that's not everyone, certainly not a lot of our younger generations, and yeah. I'm not sure I can fully explain that. But I think the interesting thing is we're really not talking about doing anything that we haven't done at Forest Mill one time or another. We've done a lot of interesting things here. I'm not going to say that it didn't have some grumbling associated with it, but we've done a lot of interesting things that just have to do with being real. In other words, if there's a hurt or something needs to be addressed or something going on, being honest about that, not playing church. And I'm thankful for the reality there is here at Forest Mill. It's just being willing to move in that vein and not getting hung up if something doesn't go just according to what we're used to. And I think we've got great capacity for that personally. But
I think, Katie, if we were to talk to folks 20 and younger right here and they shared their heart with us, we would find something from them that probably would shape each one of us. You included, you've got kids too. But reality to them and where they are in their search for God is different than what us older folk see. And I think that's what Ray meant by reality.
Well, I'm just quoting, yeah. So...
Let me follow up on the piece of real or relevance just a little bit. And it goes from, for folks that have been part of the Upward program over time and seeing some of the testimonials that go on there, or when we've had folks who have shared their life at a deeper level from the pulpit, there are opportunities to connect perhaps in ways that I hadn't seen or realized before. And people that were ministered to in some really good ways there. To the extent that we can make those connections stronger, and whether it's with kids who are younger folks who are involved in the worship service in a way that it's theirs more than it's the other folks. To the extent we can make that connection, we'd like to help them have that connection. Kimberly. They're just opportunities for each of us to see where there's a line or a barrier, if you will, and to figure out how am I going to better move across that barrier or make that connection. I don't think there's going to be a 50 compartments in heaven where it's my type of stuff. I think in heaven, God's children will be in His presence, and that's going to be overwhelming. And to the extent that we can make God's presence here overwhelm us and connect to Him, I think it'll break down some of those. Let me catch.
Maybe we got Joe
Sanders. Okay, I'm sorry.
Hello. Okay, I just wanted to ask it or say that probably throughout this nation, there have been other churches that have been faced with this same challenges, and surely even some of the churches of Christ. And I just was curious as to has anyone consulted some of those churches that have gone through those transitions and how they handled those issues and where they feel that they are now?
I think that's something that's really hit us, that there is some need here for us to slow down and continue this discussion and this dialogue. And certainly we have no interest in just coming in and popping something on anybody. We need to do a number of things. Number one, something that's become very glaring to us is we have not had a very good mechanism of communicating with folks, and we need to do a better job of that. Something we've been hit with is we need to make an attempt to try and talk with everybody in our body and do that over time. But the other thing is, there are some churches, even in the Nashville area, that are making some effective transitions. Folks like Harpeth Hills and Otter Creek, and I know Fourth Avenue in Franklin, and others who've walked kind of along this line of preserving our heritage and our identity, but yet stepping into some of those ways of how we can maybe relate to folks from other experiences so that we're not off-putting to folks. So we do, we've discussed that. We want to talk with those elderships. We want to learn from them and hear what they've learned. I'm sure they'll point out all the things that we've done wrong in this process. And, you know, we'll just freely admit that. I think that's good advice. So, yes.
Earlier, when the discussion was talking and instrumental music part was coming up, when you say instrumental music, from a guy like me that grew up in a place like Allen Creek, West Virginia, Church of Christ my whole life, instrumental music means drums, piano, guitars, and a bass on the front stage. That I never once consider instrumental music when so-and-so plays a CD in here at a different thing. You don't think about that being instrumental. I think a lot of the old scare of instrumental music comes back to seeing a light. That's where it comes up for me.
Well, and there's all kinds of problems. You know, that using instrumental music is not some cure. If that was the case, you know, every little Church of God in town would just be full, you know, because they've got it full out, you know. And quite frankly, if you decide to go that way, then there's going to be a fuss about, is it drums and a guitar or is it an organ? And, there's always going to be some discussion. And that's not the focus of this. I hope we can understand. What's that? Okay, I'm sorry. But that's not our focus. It's about being sensitive to one another and being considerate. But who had a hand up? I'm sorry.
Judy.
I'm sorry, Judy. Excuse me. Okay. She needs a mic. Thank you.
But maybe I can't. Okay.
Testing.
Testing. I think sometimes we focus a little bit too much on our youth and not as much on the congregation. We have a lot of problems here. Maybe everyone's not aware of them. Talking about instrumental music, I don't have a problem with instrumental music as far as a piano or a guitar. The drumming of the bands and the beating of the bands and all that, yes, I have a problem with that. It takes away from worship. But the problem I have is that it was conveyed in our deed when it was given to the trustees for the amount of $10, that instrumental music was never to be displayed in this church. And that is the problem I have with it, with the stipulations that the deed conveyed to the trustees. Talking about contacts, we have a problem with contacting people in the congregation. Yes, we need to bring people outside the church in, but when they get here, we've got to have something to offer them. We don't even have a minister. And I have a real problem with a minister walking up on that pulpit without a Bible in his hand. And we have very few scriptures that are ever talked about, and more of little scenarios and experiences they've had with their life or other things going on besides what is in the scriptures. We need to get back to the scriptures. And I have a real problem with that. And my soul is starving here. And I think a lot of people's souls are starving here. That's why people are leaving. These people are not being contacted once they leave. No one is contacting them. When people are sick and they've missed, maybe they miss a month. No one ever contacts them. We have a problem with our bulletin. There's people in that bulletin that are dead that we're still praying for. There's people in that bulletin that we are praying for that had breast cancer 5 years ago that are totally healed. They've had total mastectomies, I mean the whole shebang. They're totally healed. I have called a few times and asked for things to be put in the bulletin that were not. Things that were serious. Someone committed suicide. That was not even talked about for 2 weeks later when someone mentioned it to Ray, and Ray said, yes, we overlooked that. We need to correct that, and he did. The people of the congregation did not even know that this man had committed suicide, and his child is a member of our body here. And I don't remember seeing but one or two from our congregation at the funeral. No one even in our church even contacted her. There is a real problem here. People are missing and people are sick, and no one's contacted them. We used to have a phone line when Mike Lewis was preacher. We always knew what was going on because Mike left everyone a message. We had a phone message. We knew what was going on. We knew who was sick, who died, when their funeral was. We knew all these things. Now we know nothing. We have no way of contact whatsoever. I didn't know Ed White had died. I mean...
Do you have email, Judy?
Pardon me?
Do you have email?
We've had problems.
I do have email.
Yeah. Well,
I have changed my email.
I'm not...
Oh,
I don't want
to... I do.
We're making an attempt to replace the phone tree with email.
Okay, but everyone doesn't have a computer.
I understand.
That's another problem. A lot of the older folks don't have computers, okay. You know. A lot of them don't know how to use one. A lot of them just choose not to. I don't have an idea. I have called and had my email changed, and I have not received one email from the church. I don't know. Maybe there's a lack of communication there. And I am definitely not blaming anyone. Do not misunderstand me. But I think we've got more problems than deciding whether or not to have instrumental music in the church. And I think we cannot simply because of the stipulations that was in the deed. Now, also, I have to get my glasses on here. I've just got several things that I wanted to say. If people want to back me up or say something, you know, that I'm saying that's wrong, or if I'm stepping on someone's toes, please forgive me, because I have got a real problem with my worship in this church. And it's not so much that I come here to what I get out of it, but what I am able to put into it. But I can't put anything into it if I'm not receiving something from the scriptures that stirs my spirit. Am I connecting here with anyone?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if all this has been brought to your attention or not, but I would like to know if our preacher has a time limit that he is on the pulpit.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Well, the reason I'm asking that is because I have seen the guys up here in the back raise their fingers up when it's time. They'll tell the preacher he's got 2 minutes or 1 minute or whatever. Now, it may be his choice. I don't know. But these little 12 and 15 minute little talks that we're having is not feeding the souls of this congregation, in my opinion. I think we need to get back to the scriptures. And I think once we get back to the scriptures, a lot of our souls will be filled, and we don't have to have entertainment to fill that void. And if we're going to conform to the other churches and to the ways of the world, then I'm sorry, I don't need to be here. I'm not angry, I'm just upset. Because I feel like my soul's starving here, and I'm not getting what I need from worship. Am I making contact with anyone here, or am I?
Thank you, Judy. Appreciate it, brother. Okay. Sure.
I
forbid them baptism?
Sure he's not. He didn't take him out, but $100 would come up his character. Something that we did in the service. Well, I'm curious what we are doing to discourage someone like that. If you're not interested, I don't know. You didn't do that.
But as a body, we, you know, we can't grow if we don't know.
How close are we to getting a minister?
I don't know. Let's finish up this discussion before we go there.
But wouldn't that be a part? Wouldn't he be our leader?
We'll get there, okay? We'll get there.
Well, there's nothing going to work in this church if we're not loving each other and looking out after each other. And quite, I'm sorry, the elders can't do all that. We can't. I'm sorry. Well, it takes all of us. It takes all of us looking out after each other. There have been some communication issues. Judy, I appreciate that. There's nothing intentional about any of that. And there's a lot we could say about that, but I mean, we just want to do better. I mean, you know, we want to do better. We want to grow. But, you know, if we're at each other's throats about this, we're not going to go forward very well. But if we're about loving each other and trying to meet needs in a better way and being considerate of one another, that's the only way we can go forward. And we certainly want to hear, you know, we want to hear from you, and we want to do a better job of hearing and communicating. Again, that's not easy. That's not easy to get that done, but we are committed to this body and helping it grow, everybody in this body. And so we appreciate your comments.
I was just going to say, I think if we as a congregation worried about pleasing God instead of our own selves and what each one of us, myself included, likes and wants and so forth, we would take care of those weaknesses that were mentioned if we worried about pleasing God and loving each other.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. I've been coming to church here. I started coming to church here just soon after it was built. My mother brought me, and 30, 40 people was a big Sunday. You know, those folks all know me that are here tonight, and they watched me be baptized. They watched me participate in the church. They watched me walk away from the church and stay gone for nearly 30 years. And they watched my mama probably, they knew what she was going through, but they were here for her. In 1999, decided to start coming back to church. And it was a whole new ball game. You know, 40 was a class. It wasn't a whole church, you know. And there's still several of the folks from my childhood that are here, and I love each and every one of them. And I've met a lot of new folks here when I started coming back. And there's some folks here, I guess, that I haven't met, and that's my fault. But I know and love a whole bunch of folks here. For 8 or 9 years, Sandy and I came to church here, and you can be invisible in this church. You can come here for a long time, and you know, and if you can get up and go get in your car and leave, and I don't know, but I'm not here to fuss about that. I'm not here to fuss at all. But this program, ministry, whatever you want to call it, Celebrate Recovery. Y'all may be tired of hearing about that. I'm going to plug it just a little bit while I've got the chance. But I thank the elders and the people of this church for letting that happen, because it has been a blessing in a lot of folks' lives back there. It's been a blessing in my life. I spent a lot of years of my life not looking for Jesus, and I spent some years looking for him. I finally found him back there in that corner room on Friday night. You know, I didn't find him out here in this auditorium. God
awoke the Holy Spirit in me. He opened my heart, whatever you want to call it. And I don't know, I may be right or wrong on this, but from my standpoint, I have found a way to use my mistakes, my bad choices, my 27 years of not living the way God wants me to maybe give people hope, to maybe help somebody in some way through that program back there. And that program back there is not for everybody. You know, but it's a wonderful program because God's hand is all in it. But what I've learned from that is when I quit worrying about myself and I start serving the Lord, I forget about all this old petty stuff, you know. Service, that's something that everybody here can do. It might not be CR, it might be upwards. There's something here for everybody. But until everybody starts serving the Lord, we serve the Lord, He'll fill this building up. We'll have to add on. But, you guys have got a tough job, and I respect all you elders. I know three of you pretty good, a couple of you I know okay. But I respect y'all's decisions, and I also think that when y'all stand up before the church and talk, don't talk around it, say it. Lay it out there, tell us. You know, we might like it, we might not like it, but don't spend 6 months of y'all over there trying to bear the weight of it yourself. Lay it out and let us hear it, you know. That's what, and also, I respect the decisions that y'all make. Y'all were appointed, I guess, to be what y'all are. And if y'all make a decision, I respect it. I'm confident that y'all pray about any decisions that y'all make. And if y'all make a decision, I respect it. But if y'all make a decision and then people fuss about it and don't go through with it, then why do we need y'all? You know, give y'all a break. Y'all put a lot of time in this, you know. If every decision y'all make is going to be rebutted by, you know, and... You know, what do we need y'all for? I love you guys. Not that I don't want you, but you know what? You get what I'm saying.
Yeah, most people want you to lead until you do something they don't want. Right. So, well, you asked me to tell it like it is. I'll just tell you a little like it is. We probably need to cut this off for right now. Again, I've expressed that we've had no interest in, but people are saying, what's going on? What is your? So we felt like we need to let people know what's going on. We haven't had interest in ramming anything down people's throat. We just want to think about how we go forward. But the thing that hits us, you know, there's elements of truth in everything everyone said. You know, we do have to be, the word, Jesus said, my words are life, you know, and those are the words we have to share. And of course, they're not just words spoken from a pulpit, they're words that are lived. And I don't care how great your elders and your preacher are, that ain't going to solve the problems Judy was talking about. It's about people caring about each other. And so now we can improve communication. We can try to do connection. That's what we want to be working on. We want to do. But you know what? When we try to do programs like that, we don't get too many of you that step up to the plate. We don't get too many of you. When we need greeters, we don't have too many people want to do that. They've got things they want to do some Sundays, so they don't want to be here. When we need people to serve, people are just busy. And I got to tell you, church, that don't work. That doesn't work. Now, we have to get serious about this, serving one another and serving the Lord. That's where it is. And I'm sorry, it may feel easy to just blast the elders up here, and that's fine. That's okay. You know, cut my salary in half. It'll be fine. You know? But, folks, we got to be about the real business of the kingdom, not the business about rearranging the chairs. And that's the real business. And, I got to tell you, we love this body. I really mean that. I mean, it's one thing to say it, but I really mean that. This body has been such a blessing in my life and to my children, and I want it to continue to be that way. But it can't be unless we're committed to one another in a real deep way. And that's where we are. We're there. We love this body. We're not going to ambush you. We're not going to let somebody hurt you. We want to be here, but we don't want to ignore you either. You know, we can't just say, hey, you're saying things we don't want to hear. If you're saying something, we want to hear it. It matters. Every person. And we're trying to do that. It's not easy. It's not easy. But we're attempting to walk that path. Yes, LaDoris, I'm sorry.
Well, this is to go way back from in the conversation. And I would like to say that this body has meant a lot to me, too, throughout the years, the many years. But I would just like to back up to the young people, the reference to what the young people want. And it seems to me that the young people should be taught by the older people who have experience and who are learned in the scriptures. And I would ditto what Judy said about more scripture back to the Bible in the sermons, please. And that's about all I wanted to add. And I appreciate it.
Yes, let me.
Ray, I hope I can articulate this well enough here. There are a lot of statistics going around about the youth and that they're leaving. That's happening across denominational lines. You know, the percentage that we used here tonight was 89%. I've read anything from 50% to 95%, depending on the denomination. The bad news is that they're leaving denominations. The good news is they're going somewhere. They're not just dropping out. Christianity Today had an article in this month's issue that they're going somewhere. Roughly 25% or 20% of individuals that are in denominations now are dropping out of those denominations. But they're still going somewhere. They're still choosing a place to go.
Just a minute, James. Hold on a minute.
Ray, we live at a point in history that the human race has not had to deal with at this point. And from a sociological standpoint, 60 years ago, we created a subculture in this country of teenagers. And that's never existed. You know, I mean, we've had people in their teens, obviously, but they were getting married and having children and going into family business. And there was a continuity between generations. We don't have that now. We have a disconnect. We have separate cultures between generations now that we've never had to deal with. The fact that we're here discussing this, like every other denomination is discussing this, is that we're all flying by the seat of our pants trying to figure this out.
Sure.
You know, we have no paradigm for this. At all. And it's not the fault that, you know, we're not doing something for the teens or that the teens are not responding. One of the big issues that people are dropping out is because they're asking increasingly poignant questions. It's not that they don't know the scripture. They know the scripture. They're picking up, they can read it, they can see it just like the rest of us can, but they want to know why we're not addressing certain things in our own scripture. You know, I mean, for instance, let me share this. When our scripture says to love God with all our emotional, spiritual, intellectual, and physical resources, it's a fair question for people to ask why we aren't doing that in everything from our personal service to our corporate worship to our workplace behavior to our social responsibility. And when the best answer that we can give is because that's not our tradition, that's not good enough. Because people read the scripture and they know what it says. And if we can't get past the point, if any denomination is more loyal to their tradition than they are to searching the scripture and serving the community and the people within their congregation, then they're missing the point. And we've had a lot of talk here tonight about we're not going to go past our tradition. We're going to stick within our tradition. Okay? If our loyalty is to that tradition, we're going to continue to miss the other generations and the community that's out there. I think if we study our scripture, because we are evangelicals, we start with the scripture and we use that as our base. I think, really, we're going to find that the scripture covers a lot broader spectrum than we've been allowing it to cover. And so I agree with the point that I think we should study scripture more, but I do think that it's going to cover a much broader spectrum than what we are allowing ourselves to focus on. And if we continue to say this is our tradition and we're not going to move away from it, we're going to continue to appear not only to the youth but to the community itself to be a 33 RPM church in an iPod world.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. I'm not sure everybody caught that reference, but anyway. thank you. Well, the time is getting late. Yes, Joe.
I'm going to kind of return to, David, your analogy about sitting in the car trying to decide where are we going to dinner. Because at the moment that we find ourselves under your leadership, and we ultimately are going to have to hear from you guys. Over the past 6 months, I've heard from you guys. And over the past 6 months, you have made some very bold decisions. You walked through a tough situation with Daryl. You stood before us and represented a new vision that you called clear. You formed a worship committee and charged it to take a look at the things that we do. You saw the need for change in order to meet those five things that you talked about. The people who come and go, the unchurched, our next generation, our assembly time, and our selfishness. For the past 10 years, and as I talk to people, I will be here 11 years in the next month or two, and as I talk to people who have been here longer than that, it seems like most of these discussions end with something to the effect of, we'll just keep talking about it. We'll just keep looking into it. And nothing ever really happens. There's an element of truth in, I think, what each person has shared here tonight. And I could find a point of agreement with what every one of you that has shared. But to say, we're just going to discuss it and leave it at that, we're going to miss those five things. So I would like to hear, what's the next part of this process going to look like? Where are we headed in terms of process? Are we really going to have a process? Because we've not had one in the past. We've not gone there. And so if we're going to throw it out that we're going to have discussions, if we're going to throw it out that we're going to start talking and we're going to have some kind of process to visit change, what does that process look like? And how is it going to transpire?
Appreciate the comment, Joe. I think about 11 years ago, and I think about when our paths first crossed in that kind of time frame, and you know, there's a lot of goodness that's gone through those years in different ways. But in those 11 years, as I look back, there wasn't a formal process in place that I detected through those years. But some way, there was goodness that came through the form of Celebrate Recovery or Upward coming into this through a prison ministry that has a different shape than we've got. Doesn't mean that we're that that's the perfect way for those things to come in, but there were folks that had a passion and a heart in those areas and jumped into it, sometimes ahead of many of the rest of us, and made those happen. So there's an opportunity still for those kind of things. I wish I had the exact plan to say, here's how God has told us to look at this next set of issues that we've got before us, and I don't. And I feel wholly inadequate from not having that on the one hand, but God, while he didn't give us that exact process, he gave us a way to relate to each other and share the concerns that you see and bring up well, and that Rick and others have brought up along the way, that are things that we don't want to ignore, we don't want to lay behind, we want to deal with in a manner that shows this body and the world God's love through our sorting through it and figuring out how you or I or somebody else can grab those next opportunities and make them happen and make them real for this body. So I don't know what the future's going to hold along those lines. Sure don't. I know that we're committed to loving you, loving this body, loving the folks in this community, and trying to treat each other as best we can according to God's will along that way. We welcome opportunity to discuss process too, figuring out how to make it work better, how to communicate better. But there's not one I can share with you tonight on that. Believe the scriptures are wholly adequate guidance for what we need to do. It's hard at times for me to perfectly, and I don't do it perfectly, put in practice what Jesus has said in his word. I want to, and I ask your, but what I am encouraged by is the sense that we can be on that journey together of trying to find out what that word says and how to make it work. Take one more comment, and with time we'll catch a couple of items, go to close. There are a couple of things to just touch on before we close, some of which came up through here. There was a mention up front. We're going to touch on the status of our ministry team, if you will, and there's a question that came up about that. We'd made a commitment with Daryl and Elaine back at the end of September when the decision was made for a separation to occur, that we were going to not leave them out in the cold, if you will. We were going to continue to support them for a period of time while transition was made. That period was set at 6 months when we made that decision. We're a little over halfway through that time, if you will. It's never an easy thing to do, as many in here know. In this economic times, it can be especially hard to sort through what's next. And they're our brother and sister that we want to honor and want to try and make sure they're not left out in the cold. So we will continue to support them through the end of the March time frame. And it's our hope and prayer that they end up in a good place, that they can be effective, that they can feel God's love and be connected well in his service through that time. But that's the timetable we're on there, if you will. Part of our commitment is, as we continue salary in that regard, as we continue to take care of Daryl, is that we just have a fixed amount of money through contribution to cover what the expenses are of the church. And there's not an opportunity near term to go and hire another minister full time while we are covering that period of transition. So during that period of transition, we're trying to seek opportunities to get lessons in front of this body that connect with where we are and are meaningful and will be uplifting, and to the extent we can, bring folks closer to God along the way. So we're working at that. Through our sharing the vision early on, we wanted to share some of our hearts. We appreciate Sid's lessons through the holiday time. I'm biased, but I appreciate what Earl brought this morning and what he will, I believe, bring in coming weeks. And we'll continue to try and be mindful of your hearts and times as we go through that part of the transition. Does that make sense? Well, we're working as best we can in the interim, and we want to take care of those commitments, and we want to press on. With regard to, there was a mention of the deed that came up. We're aware of the stipulations that are in the deed. That's a piece of us. We are not trying to put this body in a position where there is a fight or a legal battle or dissolution. Our cross lines that have been put in place in the past in ways that are relevant to the. And I probably missaid that 1,000 ways from what I should have, the way I should have said it, but we're aware of what's in the deed. We're not trying, I hope as you heard Ray or I or say, we're not trying to push something down, folks, without having a dialogue or discussion and being sure that we're not pushing past your lines of faith and consciousness. Totally different subject. Totally different. It's the Super Bowl Sunday. You know, this is one we thought if we started with that, maybe most of the time would be spent on the Super Bowl. In years past, there's been a gathering, a Super Bowl Sunday gathering with a devotional Sunday afternoon and the game shown on the screen out back. And it's been an opportunity at times to invite folks from the community who might never have set foot in this church or another church just to have a taste of the fellowship or a taste of the love that is a part of this body and to have some fun along the way. We didn't do it last year. There were a lot of things that were going on with Upward going on. There's a lot of activity already, and we've got a cover dish dinner next week, and Super Bowl Sunday, I think, is 2 weeks from now. So part of the question is there a lot, a little, or in between interest in having one of those Super Bowl gatherings this year? Interest, no interest, some interest?
James would like to go.
James would like to do it. If you're interested, speak to one of us afterwards just briefly. Ray wants a vote. How many folks are interested in doing that? Just show hands. Yeah, back there. So there's a number of folks. Good. That helps.
Well, the situation is that's a small group Sunday. We thought about, you know, we could all be there. But as we talked to some of the ladies was in the small groups, we're having a covered dish next Sunday. That would be two Sundays in a row that we do something like that. So there's a little pushback from some of the ladies. As my mother used to say, men plan these stinking things and women have to do it, you know. And so we're asking, do you want to do a covered dish style thing 2 weeks in a row? If there's a good bit to be done about the Super Bowl party if we do that. But is that what our body wants to do? Well...
Yeah, let's have another vote.
Get two votes? What's that?
Let's man some grills,
literally. Literally? Okay. Do we want to have the Super Bowl party? Hands up. Okay. We'll see what we can pull off. If we call and ask you to help, you do not have an option to say no. Okay? Thank you.
Just say.
Debbie.
We're about $1,000 a week short of our budget. We're $50,000 short in a year's time giving. If you'd like to bump it up, we can start looking for a minister.
We will manage within whatever framework y'all decide. It's totally up to you. We will do the best we can within. We need to be giving more than we are, but if that's what it is, we'll manage within that. We can't do a bit more ministry than this church decides to do. And we've asked our minister leaders to be aware of that, make adjustments to budget. Means less benevolence, less missions, less whatever. But we'll manage within whatever this church decides to do.
Yeah, Lisa, I just want to say one more thing, and then I think Dan's going to close us in prayer. And this was not your last opportunity to talk to us or talk to one another. And so let's please keep the conversation going.
How do you want us to contact you should we have a concern?
728-4620. Also, we do meet every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock as elders and ministers, and anybody is welcome to come with us. Just call us and ask us, you know, or just call us and tell us you're coming. You know, it's not an invitation kind of thing, but we welcome that. And I guess what I want to say is these four men... have been four of the hardest men to get along with that I've ever known in my life. And I mean that. I mean that. And they would say the same thing about me, at least. Jerry's shaking his head big. I'm telling you, it has been a real struggle as shepherds for us to grow, to love one another. And I don't know what else to say about that. We have not been short on what the Word teaches about love. We've known most of our lives what the Word teaches about love, but we've had to exercise and grow in our love for one another. It has been a walk and a run and a struggle for us, but we love each other deeply. And I'm asking you, I don't think you need to know any more about love. I'm just asking you to love. You know, we could preach 1 Corinthians 13 every Sunday here, and we'd never love a bit more until we make that choice. You know, that's just the long and the short of it. When we make the decision to become a loving congregation, we will be a loving congregation. When we made the decision that we were going to be five men who loved each other, we became five men who loved each other. We knew what to do a long time before we behaved that way. You know? And I'm just asking you. I'm just asking you to make the choice to love.
What was that number again?
You know, it is a choice. And so I'm just asking you to make that choice. I appreciate everybody that's spoken up today, and appreciate what you've brought. I appreciate most of you being committed listeners, and you've heard well, and thank you for that. And so Dan's going to close us in prayer.
Brother. That would be lovely. Does anyone have a problem with that?
Wait a minute, I'm standing next to you.
I want to say, and you can hear me, I don't need this thing. I'm kind of like Joey here. I say it straight up if I say it, but usually that gets me in trouble. And so I've learned generally to try to keep my mouth shut. But we've got a long way to go in looking at each other. We've got a long way to go to look at each other. I have heard, I'll use this as an example. I was asked to listen, so I ask you to listen. I heard LaDaris, and I heard Kimberly, and I heard Judy say something about the youth program. If anybody has a question about the youth program, please, please, please step into it. See what's going on back there. Core group leaders would encourage that, wouldn't you all? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to have the support? We got a youth minister that would love to see you back there. If you've got a question, enter into it. Ask. Don't speak behind the back. Talk to the person, please. That's the loving thing to do. That's the loving thing to do. We are committed to dialogue. We are committed to, it's what will save us. And when dialogue ceases, we will cease. Don't be afraid when it doesn't sound like you want it to hear it. It sounds differently to everybody. Acknowledge the other person, please. Now let's continue the dialogue and let's pray to the Father that loves us and listens to us. Let's pray together. Our Father, I thank you for this body. Yes, this is difficult at times when we come together, but family is difficult. That's what we've always seen, and that's what we've been a part of. But I thank you for the difficulties, because we know that you are in this and that you are working for our good. Please bless us, Father, as we leave this place. For the young ones that sit beside us, for us older ones who are in the process of guiding, bless us all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.